in the fingernail of some.
The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, everyone. It is Tuesday, March 30th, 2010, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, for the next 60 minutes of news, talk, information, music, comedy, and more by, for, and about the cannabis community. And joining me here in the studio, my good friend, the maestro himself, Ganja John.
Thank you, everybody.
Oh, how are you doing today, John?
I'm doing good. I had a pretty good weekend, and, you know, it's continuing well into the week, which, you know.
That's good to hear, man. I know Mondays are tough. You got that whole two-day span you have to get through, so we're glad to have you on the show. Also joining us in our virtual studio in Astoria, Oregon, my good friend and half-sister, Cannabis Carrie.
Hello, you two.
Hi, Carrie. Did you survive?
How's it going today?
Did you survive the deluge up there in Astoria?
I did, and it's actually been raining and hailing this morning as well, so I don't think we're quite out of the woods yet, but it smells like spring out there, Russ, and all of my little plants weathered the storm great, so bring it on, spring.
Oh, we've got some plants to bring up there to you as well, as far as growing and gardening, if you know what I mean. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, know what I mean?
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. I think I know what you mean, Russ.
Carrie brings us our headlines right after the first break, so what are we looking forward to in the news today?
Well, we're going to go to the beautiful islands of Hawaii and cover, unfortunately, a reefer madness story from the state of Hawaii. We're also going to cover the statewide protests that activists held in Wisconsin at local Walmarts this last weekend. That sounds like a lot of fun and really effective. And, well, I've got a dispensary story, Russ, that's an eye roller, so be prepared for that.
All right, we'll check that out. Carrie will be back with us right after the first break. At 20 after, we've got our Daily Toker Tunes. Today's Sarah Kant from Boston, Massachusetts, will be bringing us a tune called OG Puffa from Max Dempsey. That's at 20 after the hour. At 30 after, we have our California Marijuana Report. Eric Brenner will be joining us with an interview of James Stacy, a medical marijuana defendant down there in California. And at 45 after the hour, Loretta Nall, a good friend of the show, former gubernatorial candidate in the state of Alabama and the head of Alabamians for Compassionate Care. She'll be here to talk about the Michael Phillips Act to have medical marijuana in Alabama. That's right, medical marijuana in the South. We'll be talking about that at the bottom of the hour. Before we go on to commercial break, I do want to give special thanks to two of our longtime loyal listeners out there. First of all, to the Blues Guy for all the hard work he's done in putting together Normal Louisiana. That's right, we've got a chapter now in Louisiana, and we are so glad to have that going on there. The more chapters we get started in the South, the better I feel. And also, big thanks to Rola J out there who donated so much of the gear that we're using. We've got a third microphone now set up here that he has donated, and so when Carrie comes down to the studio on Friday, she'll have a great mic to be able to use. We also got an equalizer, compressor, limiter, and this great effects processor that allows me to do cool stuff like this. Wow, man. We're having a good time at the show now. So you can bet we're going to have a lot of fun with that. All that and more is coming up on your Normal Show Live here. Stay tuned right after the break. We've got that headlines from Cannabis Carry. Also, want to let you know about my upcoming schedule here as we run through the rest of this April and May coming up here. April 16th, I'll be playing in Ashland, Oregon. Got a gig down there to help promote the Oregon Cannabis Tax Act. April 17th, we got a gig in Grants Pass, Oregon. Same thing for Oregon Cannabis Tax Act. Sunday, April 18th, I'll be at the International Cannabis and Hemp Expo in San Francisco, California, if you want to check that out. April 20th, on 420th, Tacoma, Washington, I'll be at the University of Washington giving a presentation on Reefer Madness. April 23rd through the 25th is the THC Exposé in Los Angeles, California. I'll be manning a 10x10 booth there and broadcasting Normal Show Live from the THC Expo. And May 1st, we've got the Global Cannabis March that'll be taking place all over the world. I'll be in beautiful Portland, Oregon at the Pioneer Courthouse Square all day, broadcasting from there as well. So once April hits, boy, things get really busy here at Normal Show Live. So we'll have all that coming up for you after this break here. Thanks for listening. It's Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation. Check out our blog at stash.normal.org. You can email me, stash@normal.org. Follow me on Twitter, @RadicalRuss. Whew, rented lips. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as in multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
You want to legalize it? Call your congressman today. 202-224-3121. It's free, it's easy, and you don't even have to give your name, just your zip code, and they'll hook you up to your congressman. Call 202-224-3121 and tell Congress you support marijuana legalization.
Liberate your mind. Liberate your mind. That's what you got to do. Liberate your mind.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carry.
Cannabis activists held statewide protest in Wisconsin on Saturday to support Wisconsin's medical marijuana bills, Assembly Bill AB 554 and Senate Bill 368, otherwise known as the Jackie Rickert Medical Marijuana Act. The protesters held small protests in Walmart stores across the state to highlight the chain's recent firing of a Michigan medical marijuana patient who tested positive for marijuana and was fired, even though he was Employee of the Year and a legal patient in the neighboring state. Local TV channels covered much of the protest held in at least 17 different Walmarts from Green Bay to Madison. Much of the protest was organized over the social networking site Facebook, and reports from protesters are streaming in that there was strong support at almost every location. Police in Eau Claire forced protesters across the street, and in Green Bay, activists did encounter hostility from Walmart employees and local police. Now, in other locations, police helped activists by finding the protesters' legal locations on public property close to the Walmart stores. In Waukesha, activists who were kicked out of one location simply moved to another Walmart, finding support at their second location. The activists came out in support of the Jackie Rickert Medical Marijuana Act, and one of the event organizers, Jay Selfhoffner, reported that some protesters called him that morning to say that no one showed up for their planned protest. When he asked how many of them there were, and they said that there were three of us, he said, "Get out there. You are the protest." By the end of the day, those three had a great time and encountered a lot of public support. Wisconsin Normal has been rallying people to get out and get active since the court legislative session ends on April 22nd. Governor Jim Doyle has hinted that he might support it if the bill makes it to his desk on time. Wisconsin activists are urging everyone to call their legislators to tell them to support Assembly Bill 554 and Senate Bill 368. More protests are planned before the April deadline, and you can follow their activities on their Facebook page, Wisconsin Residents for Assembly Bill 554, or immly.org, an acronym for Is My Medicine Legal Yet?
Yeah, Gary Storick and the folks out there in Wisconsin are working really hard to get the Jackie Rickert Medical Marijuana Act passed. It's important that it passes while this governor is still in office. There are so many patients that can't wait for another legislative session to come around for this law to be passed. So kudos to them for the protest to make people aware and to help us try to get medical marijuana passed in the state of Wisconsin. Now, as far as the Walmart protests go, I'm glad to see people doing that as well. It's kind of interesting how Walmart has brought everyone's attention to this notion of medical marijuana patients being fired when there have been a whole lot of other cases over the past 14 years of medical marijuana, you know, starting with California's Prop 215. There have been a whole lot of other cases of people being fired for their medical marijuana use, people who are, you know, exemplary employees and such. I think the reason the Walmart case is generating so much attention is, number one, the previous cases, the companies were a little more obscure. You know, Ross versus Raging Wire Telecommunications in California, you know, Raging Wire Telecommunications, how are you going to protest that? Where are you going to go? In Oregon, we had the Columbia Forest Products case. Again, now we're talking about people working in a mill with saws, and as far as, you know, politically getting support for this, it's a little more difficult because people think of the danger involved of being in that kind of situation. But with the Walmart story, you get the combination of, number one, it's an incredibly well-known company that already has somewhat of a public relations problem with labor in previous examples of them locking in employees and, you know, short-shifting them for their benefits and so on. But the other factor here would be the fact that working at Walmart is not anything that you can consider to be a safety-sensitive position, right? Like, even worst-case scenario, if the guy was, you know, blowing bong hits on his break time and he came back on the floor at Walmart, do you think anyone would notice? I mean, like, it would make it more difficult to fold the clothes or to stock the shelves or ring people out. So I think the combination of those things are what are making the Walmart case really stand out. But I always want people to remember, it's not that Walmart's doing anything that out of the ordinary. Any company can fire any medical marijuana patient without any repercussions. Well, this is going to be tested in Michigan because the Michigan law says that businesses can't have any repercussions against employees for their medical marijuana use. So this will go to trial and we'll see how that works out. But in the other 13 states, you know, patients aren't so lucky.
The Hawaii State Legislature is considering allowing medical marijuana dispensaries, along with several other proposals that would loosen marijuana restrictions. Hawaiian Governor Linda Lingle has now come out publicly against the recent legislative push to incorporate medical marijuana dispensaries into the state's medical marijuana program. In a speech to the Kona Kohala Chamber of Commerce, she warned that allowing medical marijuana dispensaries on the islands would be a mistake, since the islands need only to look to California to see what would happen. Governor Lingle said that legal marijuana dispensaries now outnumber both McDonald's and Starbucks in the state of California, an often quoted non-factual statement made by prohibitionists. She called the term compassion centers an insult, saying they are really just pot stores. Talking about doctors that prescribe marijuana to thousands of patients in Hawaii, she said, "Come on, we don't have that many people in pain that can only get relief from marijuana." To round out her argument as to why the Hawaiian Chamber of Commerce should be against any legalization, legislation that would allow medical marijuana dispensaries, she claimed that the marijuana that she and others in the room smoked in the 70s is a far cry from the dangerous drug that marijuana is today. Addressing the audience, she said, quote, "The chemical component, the drug, in marijuana in the years that we were in college was 2-3% THC. Now it's 26%. This is not the same marijuana that you all know," unquote. She goes on to say that since marijuana is such an extremely powerful drug, that Hawaiians need to make certain that this legislation must be stopped. Governor Lingle may have gotten her information from the Hawaii Medical Marijuana Summit that was offered last Wednesday. The state brought in Los Angeles police officers and prosecutors who said that Hawaii would see an increase in crime and suffer other economic fallout if the state softened their medical marijuana laws. Sergeant Eric Bixler of the Narcotic Division of the LAPD told Hawaiians that it is so bad in LA that he sees people regularly driving while smoking and teens buying marijuana at dispensaries just to walk out into the street and resell it to their friends. Cannabis law reform advocates objected to the summit because it only represented the views of medical marijuana opponents and was based solely on the opinions of the Los Angeles police who spoke there.
This is not your father's Woodstock weed. This is pot 2.0, 26% THC. That will fry your brain.
Oh, my God. The typical reefer madness we get here from Linda Lingle, not surprising. Let me just knock some of these down. First of all, if the weed from the 70s was 2 to 3% THC, then she was smoking industrial hemp, right? There's always been good weed. There's always been Sensimilia, Acapulco, Gold. All, you know, folks from the 70s will recount this for me. And besides, just look back at some of the news footage from the 70s and look at the hairstyles and the clothes they were wearing. Those people were smoking some pretty damn good weed, okay? Now, I'd also like to know why 26% marijuana is something to be feared when Schedule 3 100% THC Marinol is perfectly legal, Governor Lingle. I'd also like to know if you consider a pharmacy a hillbilly heroin store. You know, you said dispensaries are just pot stores, so are pharmacies hillbilly heroin stores? You know, that's what they call OxyContin, right? And this notion that there's more dispensaries than McDonald's or Starbucks, why is that necessarily a bad thing? How many Walgreens are there? How many CVS pharmacies are there in Los Angeles? I don't see why that's an issue. And when we look at the dispensaries in California, all these stories they tell are just not true. The head of the LAPD himself said there's less crime around dispensaries than there are liquor stores or banks. And the people that live in the neighborhoods around these dispensaries have congratulated them on how much they've put back into the neighborhood and helped to clean up the neighborhoods. So once again, more reefer madness from Linda Lingle, especially in a state that could really use dispensaries. Hawaii is different than any other state. It's a bunch of islands. So if you can't get marijuana on the island you're on, you've got to get on a plane or a boat to go to the other island to get it. And right there, as soon as you get on a plane or a boat, you're in federal territory and you're subject to the federal laws that make you a criminal, even though Hawaii laws say that medical marijuana is legal.
And we have covered pricing issues from dispensaries before, but this one takes the expensive cake, Russ. Some Colorado dispensaries are selling what they call top shelf medical marijuana for a whopping $60 a gram. If you want to buy in bulk and save, you can take home an ounce of the medical marijuana for $1,400. In Colorado, they are calling the expensive bud caviar, and it is made by soaking marijuana buds in hash oil, then curing it for several months. They say the resulting high-grade medicine is between 5 and 20% THC infused with 30 to 80% THC hash oil. The general manager of the Relief Center in Denver that carries the pricey bud offers a word of caution to those who purchase it. He says people looking for a smooth-tasting product would not want this bud and described the taste as rough. The sticky infused bud burns for long periods of time and, according to the dispensary manager, is intended for people who want to smoke less and need longer effects or have medical needs that require them to take in large amounts of THC for their condition. With its hefty price tag, Russ, it also seems intended for those who have quite a bit of spending money.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, anybody out there, raise of hands, who here thinks that an ounce of plant material should cost more than an ounce of gold? Anyone? Bueller? No? Okay. Now, hey, I'm cool with it. You know, you want to spend $60 a gram on some hash oil bud, $1,400 an ounce on some hash oil bud, be my guest. I'm not spending that kind of money. And, you know, it also makes you wonder just about how much of this is prohibition-based, you know? They can only charge these exorbitant prices because there can't be natural free market competition to bring these prices to something reasonable. But, hey, you folks want to buy $1,400 an ounce marijuana, be my guest. All right, time for us to take that special break. It's 20 after the hour, so do what you got to do in the way that you got to do it. We'll be right back with your Daily Toker Tunes after this.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man, a reefer man? Have you ever met that funny reefer man, a reefer man? If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Law420.com.
Hello, I'm Russ Belville, Outreach Coordinator for Normal. In my job, I read literally hundreds of headlines each month involving nonviolent, productive citizens whose lives are ripped apart by a marijuana or drug arrest. Many citizens could avoid arrest by refusing police searches and remaining silent, but police are well-trained to confuse and intimidate. That's why you have a right to speak to an attorney before answering any police questions. I hope you never need to exercise that right, but if you do, make your first call to the law offices of John C. Lucy IV. John Lucy is an accomplished criminal defense attorney with expertise in Oregon's medical marijuana law. John Lucy understands and respects cannabis and drug consumers of all backgrounds. Call John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit in downtown Portland. Address available at law420.com. That's John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit law420.com today.
You really want to legalize marijuana? Prove it. Join Normal today at NORML.org, and your donation will help us spread the growing truth about cannabis. Free speech ain't free, you know.
Free the ganja tree, it's the healing of the nation. Free the Cali weed, good for meditation. Free the pot smokers, they're in a delight. Lighting up the chalice, they will keep no malice.
The healing marijuana.
Come on, come on, come on, say.
Free the marijuana.
It's time for your Daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our PodSafe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we bring you tunes for Electric Tuesday, our segment featuring the best of modern electronic music in the genres of dance, new age, house, and electronica. Brought to you by Sarah Kant Photography. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now, here's some great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes. All right, Electric Tuesday, our best of our electronica music, always gets my blood pumping here, and we get to go out to Boston, Massachusetts, and speak with Sarah Kant. And Sarah, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Russ. How are you today?
I'm doing good, man. Spring has sprung, and I'm happy as a clam. Couldn't be better. I hope things are going well with you.
It's not exactly spring here anymore like it was last week. It's getting a bit biblical. It's going to rain for 40 days and 40 nights, I think, if it doesn't stop soon.
Getting biblical. Well, if you see anyone building an ark, I would suggest getting tickets.
Yeah, I definitely will. Thank you for that.
All right. Tell us about our tune that we're listening to today.
All right. Evan Ames is a man of many talents, born December 11th, 1982, and located in Chatsworth, California. He plays guitar, keyboards, and operates as an MC, DJ, and producer, using the aliases of Max Dempsey and Ames to Please. As a visual artist, he does graphic design and fine art, including live art performances. Evan began the No Artificial Flavor Art and Music crew in December 2009, and even at their start, they've already established themselves as a live act and in creative services enterprise in the fields of photography and graphic and web design. He also promotes events and other bands and artists. This is all in addition to his obsession with waffles and his lesser obsessions with Hennessy beer and swine flu. An old-school jungle track, OG Puffa, was released under Creative Commons licensing in 2010 on his Waffles mixtape. With dub sounds and drum and bass influences, this song comes in at a sweet 155 beats per minute. Its Rasta-heavy reggae character and samples make this tune sound a little bit like a brochure for pot tourism in Jamaica. Whatever you want to call him, Evan can be found on his website and blog at evan-ames on Blogspot, via his art crew at noartificialflavors.net, where a store and upcoming live dates in the L.A. area can be seen, Twitter, SoundCloud, DeviantArt, his personal and music MySpaces, his personal profile on Facebook, and Tumblr. All links for his online presence are available on today's Normal Stash and blog. Happy Passover and Happy Easter from Sarah Kant and Electric Tuesday.
All right, excellent. Max Dempsey with OG Puffa. Thanks, Sarah Kant. We'll be right back after this tune. Enjoy it for your Electric Tuesday.
Fine Rasta, the true living Rasta. I mean, I'm pimp, I'm no hooligan, I'm bloodsucker.
Vegetable, natural food, and ganja. Jamaica is widely estimated to have the highest density of cannabis users and has the best marijuana of the world. Almost everyone smokes it behind closed doors because it's illegal. While the police burns the fields, Peter Tosh sings, "Legalize it."
Dempsey with OG Puffa here on your Electric Tuesday. That's Sarah Kant from Boston, Massachusetts. Thanks a lot, Sarah. Let's get to our cannabis community calendar. Take a look at what's going on.
It only comes twice a day, but I don't care. It's 420 somewhere.
All right, real quick here. Tuesday, March 30th, Gary Johnson will be in town in New Hampshire at the University of New Hampshire at the Granite State Room. Former Republican governor of New Mexico who says we need to end the war on drugs. The Kalamazoo Area Compassion Club in Kalamazoo, Michigan will be meeting. KalamazooAreaCompassionClub.org for more details. Hemp TV will be on in New Mexico. Call 505-880-0666 for more information in Albuquerque. Wednesday, March 31st, 21st, a medical cannabis forum will be taking place at the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater. Check out immly.org for more information. On Thursday, April 1st, University of New Hampshire Normal is having their meeting at the MUB 321 room, and Philly Normal is having their open meeting in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania at the A Space. Check out phillynormal.org for more details. Friday, April 2nd, Michigan Normal is having their statewide second quarter meeting. It's open to the public. You can check out minormal.org for details. And on Saturday, April 3rd, the Hash Bash takes place at the University of Michigan Diag in Ann Arbor, Michigan. The annual Hash Bash opens up the summer festival season for all marijuana enthusiasts. It's a one-hour smokeout at the University of Michigan, followed by the Monroe Street Fair right afterwards. It takes place after the Hash Bash. Check it out in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Also on Saturday, KC Normal will be having their public meeting. Check out kcnormal.org or call 888-KC-NORMAL for information. And Wisconsin Normal will be having their fundraiser at the Miramar Theater in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Check out winormal.org for more details. To get more information about all of these events, check out Normal's Cannabis Community Calendar at normal.org/calendar.
The Normal PAC, the political arm of Normal, makes contributions to members of Congress and select state legislators who support our policies and advance legislation towards that end. Elected officials need to see that those of us who support legalization are serious about changing policy, are about more than just getting high, and understand the importance of supporting politicians who support us. Please make a contribution today to the Normal PAC and send it to the Normal Office in Washington, D.C., 1600 K Street Northwest, Suite 501, Washington, D.C., 20006. Or go to the Normal website and make a generous contribution. It is an investment in our future and will help assure we finally re-legalize the responsible use of marijuana in this country. Thank you.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527. California has long been the epicenter of marijuana law reform in the United States. Every Tuesday, we're joined by Eric Brenner, the producer of the California Marijuana Report, for an interview with an important figure in cannabis in the Golden State. You can hear the entire California Marijuana Report online at California Normal's site, canormal.org, and Beverly Hills Normal at normal90210.org. Now, here with another great interview is Eric Brenner.
Hi, this is Chief Mayor, and you listen to Eric Brenner on the California Marijuana Report.
The most important weapon we have in fighting the war on drugs is information and publicity. Please email or write San Diego District Attorney Bonnie DeManis. Keep your commentary respectful. Ask her to drop the case against Donna Lambert. Letters can be sent to publicaffairs@sdcda.org or Hall of Justice, 330 West Broadway, San Diego, California, 92101. Let's end this war on marijuana and free all the California marijuana prisoners. Mm-hmm. And joining us this week on the California Marijuana Report is James Stacy. James Stacy, the owner of Movement in Action. This is a medical marijuana collective out of Vista, California. James now facing a four-count federal indictment. He's looking at life in prison without the possibility of parole. This was after a raid on September 9th, 2009, where James was arrested. James Stacy, welcome to the California Marijuana Report.
Well, thank you, Eric. I appreciate you putting me on.
James, you're in a very serious situation here, facing life without the possibility of parole for marijuana. This is occurring under the guidance of Attorney General Eric Holder, who made a promise to respect states' rights, to respect the people's will, and to honor Proposition 215. Why is this occurring? Tell us about your case.
Well, what's going on is San Diego Narcotics Task Force, which has got a grant from the federal government to circumvent state law, they crossed for their officers so they could violate California law against the Constitution of California. And when they did a raid, they raided 14 places, and mine, the collective I was a member of, was one of them. And what happens is, when they realized I was in compliance with state law, they switched me over to federal charges. February 3rd, during a Franks hearing, the judge basically made the federal prosecutor admit I was in compliance with state law, then said it doesn't matter, we're in federal court. The way it goes is they arrested me at 10:45 and they had federal warrants signed at 11 o'clock. So they had state warrants that just disappeared and we can't find out where they went. But the federal warrants, we know where they're at. Well, they said both my bail hearings that they're going for life in prison.
Life in prison for growing marijuana. Now, how can they justify this? How many plants were found in your collective?
Well, according to the discovery, there was 94 plants, and this included, according to the discovery, three cells of an eighth of an ounce each. So, you know, after the guy joined the collective and everything like that, he even asked if we could do some work, and we said yes. So there was no basis for any kind of charge.
Now, what's interesting, then-Senator Barack Obama on the campaign trail pledged that he would end aggressive raids by the U.S. Department of Justice of medical marijuana dispensaries operating legally under state law. When U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder assumed office, he echoed the sentiments in California and New Mexico. The Attorney General was quoted as saying, "You'll be surprised to know that the Department of Justice will be acting in a manner consistent with what the President said during the campaign." And in October, Holder formalized the policy in a set of guidelines distributed to U.S. attorney offices. I'm assuming, James Stacy, your attorney is going to hold Attorney General Eric Holder to these guidelines.
That's what we're trying to do. There's also, I don't know if you know about the May 20th memo of 2009 that the President wrote to the heads of executive departments telling them not to preempt state law. And the DEA is an executive department, and they're ignoring it in violation of this memo directly from the President telling them not to do it.
James, how many others were indicted at your collective?
I was the only one charged from my collective. The other gentleman that faced federal charges, he was running two separate collectives. I didn't meet him until we were both in the federal penitentiary. It was Joe Nunez. He took a plea and is hoping to get probation, but could get as much as 2 years in prison.
James, how many days in federal prison?
Well, I was there for 13 days when they were trying to not give me bail and everything like that. They said I'm such a bad person that I don't deserve bail, and they wanted me to be in prison this whole time.
James Stacy facing life in prison without the possibility of parole for growing, selling, manufacturing marijuana. James Stacy, we know you're in need of money. How can we direct people to your website so you can fight this federal indictment?
One is they can go to my webpage, which is movementinaction.org, but more importantly is they can go to either the Normal or the ASA website. There's a bill called H.R. 3939, the Truth in Trials Act. And what that does is it gives you an affirmative defense in federal court. We need people to write letters or send out that pre-letter that you can get there and get those out so that we can get this out of committee and get it made law.
James Stacy, thank you so much for joining us today on the California Marijuana Report.
Well, Eric, I appreciate it greatly.
Think they but I know they must be crazy. Don't see their misfortune, else they're just too lazy. Je suis a grand zombie, my yellow belt of Charizard. Ain't afraid of no tomcat, fill my brains with poison. Walk through the fire, fly through the smoke. See my enemy at the end of the road. Walk on pins and needles, see what they can do. Walk on gilded splinters with the cane of the Zulu.
Normal Show Live is brought to you by our advertisers and supported by the generous tax-deductible donations of our listeners. If you'd like to make a monetary donation to the show, visit secure.normal.org/donate. Fill in the dollar amount and specify Normal Show Live in the comments. If you'd like to donate equipment or items to be used for prize promotions on the show, please send them to 4110 Southeast Hawthorne Boulevard, number 161, Portland, Oregon, 97214. If you need a receipt for tax deduction purposes, please indicate the value of the items you are donating. Thank you for contributing to the fight for your own freedom.
Hello, this is Webb Hubble. Life insurance is now available for responsible marijuana smokers. For years, responsible marijuana smokers have not been able to access affordable life insurance products. Normal uniquely supports cannabis consumers. Two carriers have already agreed to offer all of their traditional life insurance products at all levels without excluding individuals who smoke marijuana responsibly. Help Normal and help yourself. If you've been declined for life insurance, are paying above market premiums, or simply want to know what now may be available in the way of insurance for marijuana smokers, contact me at info@mclaughlinonline.com or simply call me at 202-293-5566.
Normal, unlike any other marijuana or drug law reform organization, is built from the ground up by grassroots activists who are peaceably assembling to petition our government for a redress of our grievances, specifically regarding our inalienable right to the pursuit of happiness through the use of cannabis for medical, social, and personal reasons. We are the Marijuana Smokers Lobby, and we aren't just anti-prohibition, we are pro-marijuana. Every Monday, we have time to talk to the citizens in local Normal chapters across the country and around the world, as well as others who are working to make a difference in the fight to end adult marijuana prohibition in this segment we call Grassroots Activism.
All right, welcome back, everyone. 42 after the hour, and we're getting Loretta Nall from Alabamians for Compassionate Care on the line in Alabama. You can hear the dialing happening right now as we get that taken care of. So Carrie will get her ready on the line. While she does, I wanted to bring up something that is posted up on our Stash blog right now at stash.normal.org. And it's some coverage from ABC News about the campaign in California to legalize marijuana. And I just wanted to point out the opposition to this, and a certain segment of the article here from a pastor, Ron Allen of Sacramento. He's a leader of one of the coalitions of cops and clergymen who say legalizing marijuana will only lead to the use of hard drugs, right? And he says he's a crack cocaine addict for 7 years, and it all started with marijuana. Well, you know, I always like to point out in that sort of situation that being illegal didn't stop you from doing crack now, did it? Being illegal didn't stop you from using marijuana now, did it. So why do you think that keeping it illegal is going to stop anyone else? But, you know, the other thing I wonder is if Pastor Allen has ever had an alcoholic drink, right? Because, you know, if he's had an alcoholic drink, why doesn't he think that alcohol is what led to that problem that he had? No, the only thing that's similar about the marijuana and the crack cocaine is that they're both illegal. You know, nobody ever calls tequila a gateway drug because you can't pick up any crack cocaine next to the tequila at the store. So that's part of that. So let's keep that in mind. But the main thing I wanted to get to from this article is some reefer manna that's pretty pervasive that keeps coming up from all of these prohibitionists time and time again. And it's this notion that if we legalize marijuana, the tax revenue that we would gain from the marijuana is not going to cover all of the damage that we have from the resulting social harms of the legal marijuana. This is something that they come back to all the time. So I just wanted to address this because it makes no sense whatsoever. First of all, they're saying that we could get $1.4 billion from the taxation and regulation of marijuana in California. And that's just not our proposal here. That's what the Board of Equalization in California is saying. So in order for $1.4 billion to be eaten up here, we would have to lose that much money in the problems with people using marijuana that would have to, you know, cover that $1.4 billion. Now, currently in the state of California, there are 2.3 million people who use cannabis. So what that means is that we'd have to take all those people that are using cannabis and divide by the $1.4 billion to figure out what it would have to cost in order for this to not work. Now, the way that that works out, 1.4 billion divided by 2.3 million people, works out to $608 that each pot smoker would have to cost to make this a net zero gain in the tax revenue. But then you have to remember that if it's costing us $608 per pot smoker, it's costing us that now, just as much as it would cost after legalization, and we're bringing in $0 now to take care of those pot smokers, and we're spending $426 per smoker for law enforcement costs. So realistically, when you legalize, you can save $1,000 or more per pot smoker. But let's run with it, right? Let's say that Pastor Allen is right and marijuana smoking would go through the roof if it were legalized. By these current numbers, at the $608 per pot smoker, after you save $426 per pot smoker for not arresting them, your pot smokers are costing $182 each. Now, times 2.3 million pot smokers, that's $418 million in costs. Suppose pot smoking went up by half. If it went up by half, there'd have to be 1.15 million new pot smokers, and that would cost $699 million. So even in this insane scenario, the pot smoking would cost $1.117 billion, but we'd be reaping $2.1 billion in taxes since the pot smoking went up by half, right? So there's no way we can run out of the money from the tax revenues by the pot smoking going up or the cost of the pot smokers. And that's with a completely insane, ridiculous, wild-ass guess of $608 for healthcare costs. When they studied this in Canada, they found the healthcare cost per cannabis smoker was $20. So don't let them try to fool you with this idea that the tax revenues wouldn't begin to cover the costs from pot smoking. Just remind them those costs exist now, and we're bringing in $0 in tax. All right, let's go to our guest, Loretta Nall. She is from Alabamians for Compassionate Care, and she's joining us here to discuss the Michael Phillips Act here for medical marijuana in the South. And Loretta, welcome to our show.
Thanks for having me on, Russ. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I got to do a little bit of ranting before we brought you on the show, but really glad to have you back. Before we get too far into the subject, I know there's a lot of folks listening to the show who are from the South, and they feel very hopeless about any possibility of ever getting any sort of marijuana law reform. So tell them your experience in Alabama and why now is the time for the South to rise again and pass medical marijuana.
The experience that we've had here in Alabama is that since 2004, we've been able to get a bill introduced into the House of Representatives and brought up in the Judiciary Committee 5 out of 6 years. It's passed a couple times, but not, there wasn't enough time left in the session for it to go any further. There's a couple of times it's been assigned to subcommittee, and we didn't get it out. But this year, we really believe that it's going to pass the Judiciary Committee. I talked to a Republican on that committee who's a friend of mine last week, and they told me that for the first time, they truly believe it will pass. There's been lots of momentum, lots of calls, lots of emails, some visits. Last week, me and two other members of Compassionate Care went down to the State House and left information packets, which included the New York Times article on why research on it in America is so hard to come by, the newest study from California where they took confiscated marijuana that the police had taken, and I believe they researched it at the University of San Francisco or Berkeley. There was 15 topics that they covered. We included that, and a number of other things to address the concerns that have been brought up in the past. It's not hopeless in the South. The political system in the South is what's really difficult. Most states in the South don't have initiative and referendum, and that would include Alabama. So we have to go all the way through the legislature in order to get anything done. And you just have to do the work. Nothing's hopeless if you're determined to get something done. And I believe Alabama will pass out of Judiciary Committee this year the Alabama Michael Phillips Compassionate Care Act. And I believe by 2011 or 2012, it will be an actual law in Alabama where patients and physicians will be protected.
We certainly hope so. If people want to get involved and join up with you, Loretta, what are the websites or contact information they need to have?
You need to go to alcompassionate-care.com. That's our main website. On there, you have all kinds of contact information. You have meeting information. We do monthly meetings, or sometimes we do it twice a month. We have the information about going down to Montgomery to lobby and educate legislators. We have things on there like handouts and flyers that people can print and pass around. We have tutorials on how to write letters to the editor. So it's, again, that's alcompassionate-care.com. Wednesday on April 7th, the HB 642, the Michael Phillips Compassionate Care Act, is coming up in the House Judiciary Committee. All the information about what people need to do right now is on the website that I just gave. So please, if you're from Alabama, go to the website, look at what you need to do, pick up the phone, get on the computer and send an email, or pay them a personal visit. We would love to have you attend next Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. is when the bill will come up in committee. That information is there. We're trying to pack the room out, standing room only, and I think we've got a really good shot at it this year. We've had more interest, more wonderful patients have stepped forward. They're tired of being oppressed and fearing not only, you know, trying to save their lives, but trying to, you know, stay out of jail and keep their property and their children. And people in Alabama, we're just fed up. We've had it, and I really think that within 2 years, this will be a law. We're getting a lot less opposition out of the legislature than you would think. The media here is very, very supportive. So it's we're on a roll here in Alabama, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that. So next Wednesday, 9 a.m. is when people need to be there at the State House to pack this hearing. And I want to encourage everyone to get out there. Believe it or not, your presence does make a difference. A lot of these sessions and a lot of these meetings that these legislators have to have are usually in front of a mostly empty room, and it's usually mostly pro forma, you know, very de rigueur type of meeting. They don't really very much from their typical scripts. But when they have these meetings over medical marijuana and the rooms are packed and people are testifying, it forces them to have to realize that the vote that they cast is affecting real people that they have to speak to. So get out there and make your presence known, and by God, definitely put your best foot forward. You know, dress as if you're going to go to church or a court appearance or something. You know, try to look really good, and don't let the stereotypes against us sway them. You know, force them to have to address us as the responsible people that we are. And Loretta, you're doing a great job down there getting people organized and motivated for that. Let's talk a little bit about the Michael Phillips Act. Typical medical marijuana bill in a lot of respects. There's a few things I'd like to know about it. First of all, a lot of people are paying attention to this case up in Michigan with Walmart firing an employee who was a medical marijuana patient. Does the act recognize any sort of protections for people's jobs as medical marijuana patients?
Absolutely, it does. That's one of the things that we definitely wanted to put in there this year that we didn't have in previous years. And it says that no employer can discriminate against anybody for the use of medical marijuana. Of course, now the federal law is what Walmart's claiming they're going by federal law, but we do have it in there, and you know, it does offer some protection for patients.
All right. How about medical marijuana reciprocity, the idea that a card from any other state would be valid in Alabama? Is that a part of the bill?
That is also a part of the bill. We have a case going on in Alabama right now. I've been working with this gentleman named Michael Lipahuska, who's originally from here and had spent time in jail here in 2006 for less than 5 grams. He spent almost a year in prison, and he suffered from mental illness, clinical depression, and PTSD, you know, all of his life. So when he got out of jail in 2006, he decided to move to California and become a legal patient so that he wouldn't have to fear prison and go back. And in 2009, this past Christmas, he came home to see his family in Anniston. And one night, he was walking down the road trying to hitch a ride, which is not illegal in Alabama unless you're standing in the middle of the road and you know, stopping the flow of traffic. The cops came by, got out of the car, searched him, found his medical marijuana in a prescription bottle, found his California ID card, found his pipe. And because he has had a previous arrest here in Alabama and conviction for simple possession, he's now facing 3 years in prison.
Oh.
And it doesn't do him any good that, you know, he's a patient in California. So it's a really sad case. I've been asking, you know, I've got to try and find him some legal help, and we've been writing letters to the editor. We're waiting to see if any are going to get published. But he's in a real tight spot, and so our bill does protect patients from other states who have a valid card from their state. You'll be protected under Alabama law.
Okay. I'm assuming that this act is somewhat like the template for many of the other medical marijuana laws, where there's a list of qualifying conditions. Is chronic pain considered on that list?
Yes, chronic pain is on that list. All of your, you know, we kind of modeled it after Rhode Island.
Mm-hmm.
We named some specific things that are on the list, and then we put in and any other condition that your physician recommends that marijuana for. So it's kind of open-ended.
Hmm.
You know, we didn't name everything, but we left it open so that if a physician says it might help you, then you'll be protected.
So that definitely opens up the possibility of coverage of conditions like depression, anxiety, post-traumatic stress, and so on?
Exactly, yes.
Oh, man.
And we have a lot of veterans this year that have come forward and are planning to attend on Wednesday. One of the people who went with us last Wednesday or last Thursday to the State House is a former Marine, a Vietnam veteran, and a really wonderful guy. He decked out in his veteran gear and made a big impression on the people that we were able to talk to and the legislators that saw him, you know, with compassionate care. I noticed there's a lot of PTSD going on, and, you know, New Mexico allowed it for PTSD, and Colorado is trying to get it recognized for PTSD, and it's a wonderful therapy for post-traumatic stress disorder. My brother, John, died in 2008. He fought in Panama in 1989. You know, when we had to go take Manuel Noriega out so he wouldn't be competing with the CIA and the cocaine trade,
right,
it was
right.
A totally unnecessary police action, and he suffered from horrible PTSD, and he got hooked on opiates and painkillers and all kinds of things from the VA and overdosed a few times, and his VA doctor finally told him, we think you should use medical marijuana.
Wow.
It would really help you, but he was too scared to go to jail, and he overdosed in 2008 and died.
Oh, that's such a shame. And, you know, I think, you know, you've hit on something here, too. With all of our returning veterans from Iraq and Afghanistan and the Gulf War conflicts that are going to be coming back, I think they're going to be a very, very strong voice for the inclusion of PTSD for medical marijuana and just the adoption of medical marijuana in general with, you know, how expensive and addictive the pharmaceuticals are that the VA puts them on. I think that's a great way to get this issue in front of the legislators, and I praise you for doing that, Loretta. Before we let you go, we got to wrap up the show here. I want to give you a chance to once again give out your websites or other contact information, and if people are interested in other than medical marijuana, you know, just legalization in general, who they should contact, go right ahead.
Yep. If you're interested in anything other than medical marijuana, you would also contact me. I've started a new nonprofit organization called Alabama Citizens for Drug Policy Reform. I'm waiting on 501(c)(3) status. But you can get in touch with me, Loretta Nall, that's L-O-R-E-T-T-A-N-A-L-L, at gmail.com. If you're interested in medical marijuana, you want to go down to Montgomery with us next Wednesday and really, you know, show them who we really are and what a medical marijuana patient looks like and help get this bill passed out of committee. Go to www.alcompassionate-care.com. And if you're in Alabama, I have been invited by the University of Montevallo Normal Chapter to give a speech on April 6th, which is the day before the committee meeting at 7:30 p.m. at the University of Montevallo campus. If you'd like to come out and hear me speak about medical marijuana and about the drug war in general, we would love to have you.
All right. Thank you so much, Loretta Nall from Alabamians for Compassionate Care and all the work you're doing down there in Alabama. Thank you so much for being here. Normal Show Live, we're here every weekday. Thank you, Loretta. We'll talk to you again sometime. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers. I'm Radical Russ Belville for Ganja John and Cannabis Carry and everyone here at normal.org. Thanks for listening. Replays at 3, 5, 7, and 9. Check us out at stash.normal.org. See you tomorrow.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.